This is an introduction to my song. Machine within. Machine within. God, machines within. Machine within. Ow. Yeah, I got a gun. Terminator gun. Yeah, I got a gun. Terminator gun. Machine within. Machine within. Ha. Machine within. Machine within.
Yeah. And for all the haters, much love, no hate. And for all the haters, much love, no hate. And for all the haters, much love, no hate.
How about that? Back from the dead, James Brown.
Wow.
Machines within.
I didn't know he could still sing like that.
I didn't think that was an option in the least. But thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you, Eddie Bojangles, for this song you called Track. Or, sorry, Spank. Gene, you got some 2018 stuff coming up?
Yeah, I do. January 12th, Pasadena, California, the Ice House Comedy Club. You'll be doing a spot on it as well.
I will be.
And Marilyn Rice Cub, Steve Simone. It's going to be a great, fun night. Get your tickets, Christina P. Online. February 2nd and 3rd, Salt Lake City, Utah, Wise Guys Comedy Club. February 23rd, one night, one show only in Colusa at the Colusa Casino in California. March 30th and 31st, Portland, Oregon at Helium, right? Is that how you say that? Helium Comedy Club.
On your own on that one.
Okay. Multiple choice. Christina P. Online. How about you, Gene?
I have one last show left this year. It is in Hawaii at the Hawaii Theater in Oahu this Saturday, December 16th. Pull your jeans up. Put on your Hawaiian shirts. Aloha. That's it. That's it for the year for me. I am done. What a crazy year. And you probably saw it on other social media. And I think I mentioned it on Pete Holmes' podcast. My special, Disgraceful, comes out January 12th on Netflix.
Those are some bags and a chip. Chips and a bowl, I mean.
Chips and a bowl.
Oh, my life. That's big news. That's a great title, by the way.
Thank you. Disgraceful it is. January 12th. Please mark your calendars. Please watch it. And please tell your friends to check it out, if you don't mind. Very excited for it. So that is that, Gene.
Much love, no hate.
No hate. F all the haters.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, that's it, Gene. Quick reminder that not only can you stock up on your mom's house, Tom Segura, Christina P. gear for the holidays, for your loved one, your friend, whatever listens to the podcast. You can get, you know, Machines Within, Moose Soup, bikes, whatever it is. There's all that swag. There's vinyl signed. But there's also, we sold out of Santa Claus Wears Jeans sweaters.
Okay.
So we made a new Santa Claus Wears Jeans sweatshirt, a red one. We upped the sweatshirt material to the super soft, really nice one. And 100% of the profit is going to go to buying toys and gifts for Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. So check it out. And again, thank you for all your support, Gene. All right, we did a bunch of stuff, and now we're back from here.
That's a good one.
You like
it? What was that about?
We took a break. We had to do stuff, and then there's other stuff to do. Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I missed you. You were gone. You went to Fartnik's.
I did the second to last stop on this tour. It's crazy.
And then we're going to Hawaii tomorrow.
Hawaii.
It's exciting.
I know.
What are you going to do on your vacay?
Take it easy. Vape. drink. Just chill.
Are you going to be one of those dads that's at the bar at 10 a.m. when it opens?
Why shouldn't I be? I'm celebrating the year. The year's over.
That always amazes me, those people on, like, look, everyone does their thing on vacation, but that to me is like real endurance. The people that, like, I'm just saying, like a Bert Kreischer, maybe, you know,
yeah,
at the bar when it opens 10 a.m. until sundown.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's a full day.
It's going to be, yeah. Remember those dads in the Dominican Republic when we went there?
Yeah.
And they found out we had a porno channel and they were like, what?
Yeah. They're so gels.
And they were eyeballing the girl that was taking her photos. Remember the cute young girl? And he was like, check out. Hey, get over here, pal. They're like really dadding down on her.
It's so sad when you become a dad.
Yeah.
Do you feel sad yet?
Yeah, of course.
Does that dad sadness creep in?
Oh, yeah. It's coming out of my pores.
What is the dad sadness about?
You just realize that fun's over.
Yeah.
And
responsibility.
You know, yeah. Now you got to like make sure everyone's okay and make sure the lights are on, food in the house. Just sad.
Yeah. Mom sadness is there too, where you're like, oh, my body's destroyed and I worry constantly about someone else.
No more joy.
Yeah. No more joy. Yeah. That's
joy's
so
gone.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think I really have fun. Do you?
Yeah.
Do we have fun?
No, we don't have fun. This might be like the most fun thing we do.
Yeah. That's probably why we've kept it up for so long.
I'm sure it's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
We enjoy doing this.
Right. But in terms of scheduling fun, a vacation is imperative.
You have to schedule vacation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're at in life. I'm saying, like, if you go like, oh, vacation is expensive. If your vacation is just staying home, not doing anything and driving to get ice cream at night, and that's your then that you need to do it. You have to take a break.
Yeah, take a break.
I think it's better to leave though. It's always better to leave the home base.
Yeah. Cause I've done the home vacay thing too. And then you just get wrapped up in your traditional drama.
It's true.
It sucks.
Not the same. All right.
What?
Let's do a traditional show open.
All right. Well,
let's get into it. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that I was taking a nap. He had come home, farted at me after I assumed.
I just need to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. Did you fart in her face?
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitson.
Welcome to your mom's house.
I was just laughing at Twitter. That's all.
What did you like?
Because I wrote a tweet to that kid that got bullied.
Yeah.
And I guess it got retweeted a good bunch.
Uh-huh.
I wrote, what did I write? His name's Keaton. If you haven't seen it, there's this kid and he tells his mom that like kids are bullying me in school. And it's really, he gets real emotional and he talks about how it's the kids are so mean. And he's like, I don't understand why they do it. Some people are just different. And she's like, what do they say to you? And he tells her like, they call me ugly and they're just really mean. It's like a heartbreaking video. And since she posted it, it went viral and like everyone is inviting this kid to shit. Like Tennessee Titans are bringing him to a football game.
Right. I know. His celebrities are on, but isn't that kind of bullying of the mother to post a very vulnerable video of her son?
It's kind of wild.
Isn't that not protecting him?
Yeah.
Bullying him?
I see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I'd be like, Mom, don't fucking post that video.
Yeah, you're an asshole for doing
that. But it worked out in this way. So he's got Cavaliers invited him to a game. Three or four movie stars have invited him to movie premieres. Chris Evans. What's his name? Forget the fucking guy's name. Then Dana White invited him to a UFC headquarters. So he's like, everyone's reaching out to this kid. So I just stopped for a second today and I wrote, hey, Keaton, don't get too full of yourself with all this attention. I will fuck you up. And there's not a thing your mom or LeBron or Chris Evans can do about it. And that's it.
It's funny.
Yeah. And right now it's got about 3,000 retweets and 8,000 likes.
Well, good for you.
But the comments underneath it are hilarious because people are either being like, hell yes, and getting that that's a joke, or and putting like funny memes and gifts under it, or they're being like really taking it very seriously, yeah. Like, you know, you're what's wrong, not, you know, that's not funny, who made you do this, like just shit like that. So it's just funny. And then I saw some guy, so people are clowning that they also started like a GoFundMe, the mother did.
So what happened, because I follow this Instagram account, Hollywood Unlocked or something.
Yeah.
And that UFC guy was on there saying that he invited that boy, but the mother was like, don't invite him, I'm not letting him go, but you can promote my GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
And then he goes, for what? And she's like, well, Christmas is coming and I'm a single mother and I want money for my kids.
Yeah.
Fame. So she's really, really ruining this for her son, by the way.
Yeah, that's
she's
not
cool.
Not
cool.
So
she's
then
really
other
cool.
people started GoFundMes for being bullied, but they're making a mockery of it. Like this guy here. Some guy is looking out of like window blinds.
Yeah. And like, what's it say, Tom? Read
it says, niggas stay bullying me and shit. And it's $100,000 goal.
How much has he had so far?
I don't know. He just created it. He just created it. But it really made me laugh. So,
yeah.
Oh, man.
I love people's internet things. You know what I mean? Like, it's really healing the world when you take a stand against shit. Like, oh, come on, dude.
I think it's funny.
I'm opposed to the terrorist attacks. Well, of course, everyone is.
I think it's funny that people take this seriously. Yeah. I mean, that take my tweet seriously.
Right.
Dude, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah. Well, you know? That's what divides us.
Yeah.
I tell you, the internet is pretty miraculous in that it exposes the humanity of everyone and the joy,
yeah.
And then the absolute dumb fuckery of, I'd say 80%. I'd say we're at 80% retarded for the world. What do you think?
I think the greatest, I've said this before, the greatest indicator of stupidity is when you don't process when something's clearly a joke.
Yeah.
So there are so many people that don't process, don't understand, don't register sarcasm or satire,
right.
Irony, none of it. None of it goes through their head. That's the greatest indicator of a stupid person.
That, and I would say the folks who belong that God is sending hurricanes or fires because of what gays are doing.
Like my mom?
Stuff like that. Well, does she really think that it's to punish the gays and stuff?
Like
the butt fuckers need to be
weeded
out.
No, she doesn't think it's the butt fuckers. It's that we need to be better people to each other.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's
silly. She's
kind
of like, you know, we're not being good to each other. And I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, and you know, these hurricanes. And I'm like,
God's teaching us a lesson, huh?
Yep.
Well, how come he doesn't reward us when stuff's going well?
Well, he does. Life, look at all this amazing stuff. Water's everywhere. Yeah, there's stuff like that. I talked about it on stage, about her POV of that. I didn't do it this weekend, but I had been doing it. And about how at a certain, like, you have this conversation with her and I at 22 or 3. I am going to make sure every point that I have about that is expressed.
Oh boy.
And I know it's going to build into a fight. You tell me now that you think God sends the fires, and I think about the energy it would take to have that argument, and then I just go like, I know.
Yeah,
I know, we gotta be better to each other.
Like, well, isn't that the essence of middle age or approaching middle age?
I guess so.
Is where you do the math of the exhaustion mentally and spiritually that would take.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where the not giving a fucks is awesome at this age of your life.
Yeah.
There's so many things I don't fucking care about anymore.
I know. Things that used to
so
really
great.
Wind me up, you know?
I just don't have the energy either. Yeah.
I could, by the way, it's so funny that this was a clip. I could charge you with assault for what you just did. It's literally, you had no idea this was what was planned.
No,
It's literally part of the show today.
Vincent Posada is suing his former roommate, Carmela Ortiz, in the amount of $596. Huh. He says after pulling a prank on the defendant, she viciously attacked him.
His tooth got chipped.
You didn't lose your tooth, but you chipped it.
Chipped it, yeah.
Oh, just take a look at that on the plasma.
And she did. Look at that.
Ooh, from the fart?
And
well, the
retaliation. I was looking for a roommate, and my sister knew him.
All right, well, how did the tooth end up getting chipped?
Basically, it's going to sound a little gross, but Vince is lactose intolerant, and I don't know why, given his age, he's not in third grade anymore, but...
I like ice cream.
He finds...
Who doesn't like ice cream?
I love ice cream.
Yeah.
Your Honor,
so
I can cut.
We're getting into that he purposely ate some ice cream, right?
And he's lactose intolerant.
So he knows what's going to happen.
And I'm listening.
He knows what ice cream does to him because he's lactose intolerant. And he tends to...
I know what ice cream can do to you.
However, I don't like having ice cream thrown at my face. And that's actually what she used
that
to chip my
teeth.
That
is not what happened at all.
It was a frozen hard brick of ice cream.
So I out of nowhere just threw ice cream at you.
Yeah,
so you can already tell he's a liar, actually, I think.
He's full of shit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I was taking a nap. He had come home, farted at me after I assumed.
Well,
I just need to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. Did you fart in her face?
Moments before this podcast started, you had sat here.
I did.
You recorded some ads. And
I
then
did.
I said, hey, I need to sit here to get back into this show. You stood up and right here. You farted a disgusting fart.
I did. And I farted on your shoulder, though, not in your face.
Okay, let the judge explain some things to you.
Well, technically, I guess, in a way, yeah.
He
she
did
was
fart
down
in my face.
I walked
it's not
past
something
her,
you can
I, like,
be confused
her face
about.
Her be right by there when I was walking
There's
at that moment.
Nothing confusing about the smell.
Yeah.
No doubt about that one.
Did you smell my fart?
Of course, it was horrible.
What did it smell like?
Has there been anything in your presence regarding this farting?
Oh, boy, has there.
So this is the sister now weighing in.
Oh, on the fart.
He's a habitual farter.
Yeah.
That seems to be a regular part of his act. He did make a lot of fart jokes during his act, and he does tend to fart a lot on purpose. And, you know, there's the occasional slip-up, but he does think it's funny to fart on people.
It is funny.
It is funny.
What's not funny about that?
I'm not arguing that.
I mean, if we're in the court of what's funny, I'd say this guy wins.
Yeah.
Based on the evidence and the testimony before this court, the gavel is going to come down in favor of the defendant. Because out of everyone that was talking, not real crazy about you, you're a little mouthy, but your sister, she was solid.
So, wow. But then one last thing here.
Really ranking those performances, Judge.
That the judge says, I think, maybe you should pay attention to.
Whether you realize it or not, when I talked about the chain of events, when you farted on her, that was an assault.
Assault.
You don't have to put your hands on someone to assault them.
A fart is an assault.
A fart is an assault.
Well, that's interesting. We learn something new every day on this show.
Yeah.
Every week, rather. So did I assault you? That's what you're claiming?
Of course.
An assault.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did,
on
right
what?
Here.
Did you fart in her face?
Yes, she did.
What are the damages? What are the damages?
I don't know. $1 million.
$1 million?
Well, it was
for
disgusting.
What?
For my emotional distress.
Emotional. What did I stop you from doing in your life?
From getting my mind together.
There's nothing confusing about the smell.
There was nothing confusing about the smell.
What did it smell like? Let's talk about my fart.
It smelled really disgusting. It really did.
Well, like what?
Like sour shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did it smell so bad?
Because I went to the salad bar and I get my Thousand Ranch dressing. I make it at Gelson's.
I thought of another one, by the way.
What?
Remember we were talking earlier about things that we think we are?
Yes.
Like, you know, when you like it came up because of tattoos. You're like, oh, I want to get a tattoo like that lady. Like you'll see somebody with like half sleeve or some cool.
I like it.
And you're like, but then you go, but that's not me.
Right.
You know what I always want to be?
What?
It sounds like the leather bound... daily planner person.
I was
like,
that person once in my life.
I've bought them because I love luggage and I love, you know, like leather bound anything, whether it's a backpack, a briefcase. Like I kind of fetishize, romanticize any artisan work, handmade, handcrafted. You know what I mean? Anything
I
go like, oh, I want that thing.
But you're also...
But then I get it and I don't use it.
Well, yeah. I give you stuff that's leather bound a lot. Like
I'm admitting to it.
And then you... this is
wallets I use.
This is you. This is a literally...
A wallet I use, of course.
But I'll hand you like a new thing and you'll go, oh, thanks. Put it down. It's gone forever.
Mm.
And anyway, this topic came up in regards to the tattoo I mentioned I wanted.
Yeah.
My midlife crisis tattoo.
Yes.
And... I thought about it. I got many offers.
On your nipples?
No.
Oh.
On my inner arm.
I thought you were going to do 2% vitamin D on the
nips. That's so stupid. It's never 2%. It's all full milk, whole milk, whole purple.
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion that I may want it, but I'm not the person who does it. Like, meaning I think I'm that girl.
Right.
But the truth of it is I shop at the Gap and I'm super boring. And like, I don't have the cojones.
I wouldn't say you're boring. I would say that you don't identify with that.
I'm too traditional.
Yeah, you're traditional.
Like, part of me worries about being 80 years old and being in an airport. Because I saw this woman at the airport who was like 70.
Yeah, with an asshole tattoo.
She didn't have an asshole. But she had something on her leg that was so hideously inappropriate for her age. And I was like, I can't do it. It's just not me.
Yeah.
And there's a whole slew of things I wish I could be. I wish I could be the girl when they take photos that they don't smile.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just look like their mouth is, cool. But I always am like, picture. Like I'm like a Labrador.
I wanted to be the get up and grind exercise guy. Like I exercise, I work out a lot
that?
Now. No, I'm saying like I work out a lot.
Yeah.
But I've always read about and hear about the guy that gets up at like 5.
Oh, like Mark Wahlberg. I follow him on Instagram. He's up at 4.
Yeah.
Just like, what are you doing with your life?
Early.
Oh,
get the day started.
Why?
I've tried it. I hate it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I have to work out I can work out in the morning after a certain hour, like at least 8. I'd rather work out at 11. Because I need to feel alive just to do it, you know?
Well, I mean, there's people that wake up at like 4 a.m.
Fuck that.
Fuck that. Their days start early, but they start work at like 7.
I fantasize about like being,
That motivated?
Person. Yeah, yeah. Just being like the guy that fucking grinds it like from the, before the sun comes up.
God, that sounds terrible.
Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer peace of mind with every purchase with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. I know it can be overwhelming. I've been in that position. And what you want when you're getting to something like jewelry is an expert to help guide you along the way. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you're not satisfied, there's 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's hims.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
The girl I also want to be is the one that wears high heels.
Mm-hmm.
And has like beach wavy hair. Like she wakes up early and she curls it.
Yeah.
And then also is really into facial treatments.
Oh, I like her. Where is she? She's here?
She's not in this house.
Oh, right.
And the girl who's like really up on the facials and injections and like really into like that level of self-care.
You could be that girl.
Yeah, but you know how much energy that girl expends
too
doing
much.
That shit?
Yeah.
I ain't got that kind of time.
Nah, I'm into that. I also fantasize about being the motorcycle guy. Like, not like a fucking like a in a bike gang.
The motorcycle.
But I'm saying, like,
guy.
I'll see a beautiful bike yeah. and I'll go like, oh. And I've never ridden one, and I don't really honestly don't want to ride one. When I like when I see them here on the 405 and like weaving between cars,
oh
that gives
gosh,
me anxiety.
Yeah, should.
But what I do fantasize about is the open road in like Wyoming. Yeah. You know, or you just see like you just picture open road. Maybe it's on a ranch or something, and there's like some dirt trails, and I fantasize like that'd be cool. I'd like to do that, but then I go, I'm not gonna do that. You know, but I still lose myself in the thought.
And because you'll see like a picture of someone and you're like, I could be that person.
I have to stop myself from buying luggage all the time just because, like, especially when it gets more niche. You know, I was like, I bought a suitcase for our trip and they're like, we have these backpacks, we have these shoulder packs, we have this. So every time it's any type of compartment that you can get, I'm like, oh, yeah. And I could put pens in that. Yeah. I just want, I don't know, I fantasize that
about being that organized, like
that organized, or just I like compartmentalizing mm-hmm. things in a cool case.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I like a cool box. It's almost like a gadget in a way, you know?
That's interesting.
It's not a gadget, but it's like a cousin.
Right, right.
That like the presentation of the thing. It's like why a cool cigar box is cool. It's like, it's not the cigar.
No, you like the container.
The container it comes in, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But then at the same time, I'm aware of myself enough to not overdo it. So I'll see that thing and I'll go like, yeah. And then I go, you're not going to fucking use that.
Well, the thing too, I've realized about my personality is that I can only own like 5 things at a time. Cause I'll buy other stuff and then I'll forget it. I'll be like, oh, I have that. So, or like, I just don't, I'll forget about it. I can only own 5 things.
I'm with you on that. I also feel like I'll buy something nice, like a nice shirt. And then I'll see it in the closet and I'll go like, oh, right now I'm going to run out and go to the grocery store and then, you know, run another errand. And I go, put on that shirt. Then I go, but that's too nice of a shirt for that errand.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Where I'm saving the clothing for a special occasion.
And then we go like,
I do that all the time.
We're going to dinner. I swear tonight.
All the
time. We're not going to a nice
dinner. Yeah, I do that all the time.
We're just going to like a regular joint. I should save it for.
And then like, we have vacation. Years go by.
I go where, and I go, but like, I don't want to fuck it up on the vacation.
Yeah.
So I better leave it here.
That's the problem. I do the same thing. I have a coat that you bought me, fancy coat, and I found one occasion to wear it on so
you
far.
Better fucking find another
I
one.
I know. It's such a bummer, and it's the most beautiful coat.
It is a beautiful coat.
It's like,
I'm really regretting getting it for you.
Thank you. And I inherited these ridiculous fur coats from my mother when she died, and those just stay in my closet. Like, there is absolutely nowhere to wear a fur coat in Los Angeles. Sorry, are you crazy? Only a crazy person buys real fur coats.
Yeah.
Like minks and shit.
This isn't so
bizarre.
This is not an official dental update, but it might as well should be.
And brush your fucking teeth. Please brush them goddamn teeth. I don't understand how you can walk around and not brush your fucking teeth. Your breath stank and your teeth are dirty. No, ma'am, that ain't how we roll.
You know what I mean? That is
a woman?
Jasmine Masters. She was on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
I like to clarify my confusion in my brain.
That's a good idea. But I like the message.
She's standing
on board 100% with her.
Hell yeah, dude.
I need you to fix that. Use a little Clorox. If you have to, a little Listerine, the brown kind, so it can get all straight through.
She's saying she's sick of foul mouth, man. You know?
Who is she hanging out with?
I don't think she has to hang out with anyone seedy to see that. You just see people with funky-ass mouths all the time.
And the problem is, what if you're close to one of those, and how do you tell them?
Oh, yeah.
How do you tell somebody?
In my world, you just speak right up, you know?
In comedian world, you can.
Yeah.
You could be like, bro, your shit's all fucked up.
I know.
Your shit's all whack.
I've told people.
Who have you told?
Parents.
Oh, well, that's different. You tell your mom and dad you're embarrassed about their mouths daily.
Yeah. I'm always like, are you guys going to address that? And they're like, what?
They just laugh.
I know. I don't know if they actually do anything. No, they do because they've told me. My dad called me. He was like, oh, I just left the dentist. He called me that like a month ago.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
And how'd it go?
I don't know. I'm like, did they rip all your teeth out? He's like, no, we're getting a clean bill of health. I'm like, you're going to a liar.
Yeah.
Use a little anything, but get in between them teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Brush them. the front and the back, the sides, the get in them teeth.
She's got nice teeth.
Yeah, I was just noticing. And flossing, she doesn't even mention flossing. That's the key to good dental hygiene.
She probably got hit on by someone with funky teeth. That's probably what, you know what I mean? It's like venting about that happening.
And brush it. Quit smiling at people with food in your teeth. That's not cute. Please get it together, Jish. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what happened. Somebody was like, hey, what's going on? And she was like, teeth is nasty as hell. You're nasty.
That's terrible. I'm always so self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
Bad breath, coffee breath and stuff.
Yeah, it's the first thing I do in the morning is, I mean, I don't know how anybody skips that step in the morning.
Oh, remember I talked about this years ago on Your Mom's House, but I knew somebody whose mother would only brush her teeth once a day.
Yeah.
And she would wake up, drink the coffee, and then go all day without brushing her teeth.
That's real crazy.
So then she would brush like by 5 o'clock, and they're like, you need to brush way earlier.
How does it not bother you?
That's the thing. She's like, I don't like the flavor of the toothpaste. I don't like the taste of toothpaste.
Oh.
And they said, well, you know, you can get like cinnamon.
Different kinds.
You can get chocolate flavored, whatever. And so they did. They got her the flavor she liked, and then she started doing it. But, you know, that's somebody's mom, bro.
It's really crazy.
That's a lifetime.
Josh Weinstein was here last week. And here we go. He promoted "I Need You to Kill," the documentary that I'm in.
I know, I haven't seen it yet. I'm so bummed.
It's okay.
I can't wait.
Check it out.
Our iTunes wasn't where I'm.
A lot of people have been messaging me that they watched it, so thank you. You can rent it for a few bucks, or you can buy it. It's available on like all the pay-per-view cable things. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. On IMDb, some of our listeners got into the trivia portion of the film.
Oh, dear.
So they're adding things all the time. Tom is a denim enthusiast who prefers to wear high, very tight-fitting jeans. Tom lives a polyamorous bisexual life with his life partner, Christina. They have a son named Gene. Tom considers himself a mommy, just like Christina. As they say, there's two mommies and one Gene. Shortly after this film was shot, Tom Segura began a side career as a DJ named Dadmouth. He gives his fans free tickets to DJ gigs. Collaborates with luminaries like Obi-Wan Kenobi, DJ Duct Tape, Ollie Zimzer, Young Patreon, and Gaping Dad. Tom holds a yearly comedy benefit to support the family of his dear friend, Bert Greisler, who lost his battle with alcoholism and obesity. Jesus Christ. Speaking of Kill, Tom's favorite movie is Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
It is. You just said that you watched something about Ted Bundy that you thought was riveting and hilarious.
Dahmer.
Well, I saw the Dahmer thing. Even.
Somebody tweeted you the Ted Bundy thing.
Oh.
I saw that on Twitter. Somebody said, is this a young teenage Tom?
Yes.
And it was Ted Bundy being led down some courthouse stairs.
Sure.
And there's like a kid in the background smiling.
That's you.
I think it was Vegas 702.
Yes, I love her.
Yeah.
Been around a long time, Vegas 702.
This says also that Tom Segura found Asia to be a maze. He was inspired to go on his trip by his spiritual advisor, Kim Ann. So that's really
asshole.
That's really, really nice of you to put that up there.
Do you think that the Wikipedias and the IMDBs of the world will figure out that this communal posting thing is not really bringing forth truth in the world on the internet?
Asshole.
I don't know.
Because my Wikipedia page says I was born in Toronto, and that is inaccurate.
Mine said fucking Dayton forever.
Like,
I was like,
what?
Who's doing this?
Who's Windsor, Ontario, guys? Glamorous Windsor.
Windsor. Across I'm from the 513, man.
Detroit. Yeah, come on. No, I'm not that classy to be from the T-Dot.
Yeah. No, I don't know. People can just add what they want. Then it becomes a fact.
I know. And then I do all this press stuff, and they're like, you're born in Toronto? I'm
wasn't
like,
it great?
No.
I get asked the Dayton thing every week.
You're from Dayton?
I'm like, dude, I went to Dayton the first time I was probably 28.
Right.
They're like, that's where you're from.
Okay. Yeah. Like Kim Deal. From Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow. How have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
What is this question here? Somebody said, is Joey Diaz insane?
Yeah.
I was listening on your recent podcast. I was blown away when Joey admitted to dropping a hot steamy brown in the shower.
Yeah.
And then physically picking up with his bare hands and tossing it in the toilet. What's even more perplexing is that minutes after admitting shitting in the shower 3 times in his life, he said, he is quoted to have said, this is true, you have to be an animal to shit on an airplane. It made my dad boner flaccid when I heard this. I was confused and disturbed. I had to change my pronoun. Why does he think browning in a plane bathroom is so repulsive, but full on shitting in the shower and picking up with your bare hands is not? I love the podcast. I always look forward to Joey's stories. Please piss on me and beat me. Try it out. Chris from Kansas.
Oh my God. That's a new greeting.
Yeah.
Wow. That was hilarious. Piss on me. Try it.
Yeah. Try it out. Try it out. Try it out is piss the best me, part of that whole me. Thing. Try it out.
Come over here. You guys all want black guys want to fucking real good.
My God.
Right?
That is just.
You want to fuck me? Come over. You want to get out of prison? You got friends?
In my building? Try it out. You want to fucking piss on me? Try it out. Seriously, fight only. Let's fuck, man. I'm looking for hardcore guys. I mean it. Want to do it. And I want to deliver it. I'm a hot, white trash. Come, dump. Let's fuck.
God. He's also like trying to say so much that he's like tripping over his own words.
He's so excited.
He's going to try out some of my trash. Fuck me. I mean, it's really, really fired up for it.
He's so excited.
To answer the email question about Joey, it's because it's a lunatic person you're asking to think rationally.
No.
Only somebody that crazy will go like, yeah, I pick up shits in my shower, throw them into the toilet, but shitting on the plane. Of course, he's not a logical human being.
Well, Joey's got his own code that makes sense to him, guys.
Yeah, yeah. And which is what's amazing about him.
Well, to be fair, I think every human has their own sense of what's decent and what's not, and that's just Joey's logic. Totally. It just adds up that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, then again, you know, I think shitting on a plane is horrendous. Then again, picking up a loaf of shit and throwing it from the shower into the toilet's pretty gnarly too. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Oh God. I had such a messy brown the other day, and I was so thankful for our bidets. So thankful.
They really are amazing.
Do you have days where you're like, God, how did we even wipe before this?
It's like
this?
The downside of thinking about Hawaii. I'm like, well,
oh, no.
I won't be able to wash my ass every time.
Wow.
I really love it.
You know what's interesting? I was talking to you the other day about when I was pregnant with Ellis, how I could really smell things, like you have that pregnant lady smell. And I remember when you would fart, I could smell the layers to it. Like it, some of it was nutty, some
that's
of it
so cool.
Earthy.
That's so cool.
I could smell the oak tones. I could smell the
cool.
the tonal qualities,
cool. Cool.
the fruit.
Cool.
And then you go, yeah, you're like a fart sommelier.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a neat title. And somebody out there is a fart sommelier.
Yeah, you are. What do you mean somebody out there? You are. You're a fart sommelier.
Only if I'm pregnant, because that's like a pregnant lady's superpower is their smell.
Yeah, but no, you are a fart sommelier. Yeah.
F-A-R-T.
I will say that when I go in the bathroom after you've taken a dump,
yeah,
your after dump smells are sweet.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it is, but your browns have either a very sour quality when mm-hmm. they're sick, you know, when you've eaten shellfish yeah. or something, but they're generally very sweet.
It's diabetes. Yeah.
Fart, yeah.
Fart, eh.
Yeah. Now, we're supposed to be joined here any moment by the great Pauly Shore.
The Weasel.
The Weasel.
Buddy. I gotta tell you, I grew up watching him. I don't know, were you watching MTV back in
fuck
the late
yeah,
80s?
Man.
That was nutty. He that was dude, so famous.
Oh, my God. That and the movies. I loved his movies.
Jesus Christ. You know, my dad's favorite movie is Son-in-Law.
Son-in-Law was great.
Which
Encino
is
Man.
Hilarious. Encino Man was great. Which is funny because my dad obviously has that cultural divide of, you know, being like a hardcore Hungarian.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to always walk in on him just hysterically laughing at Pauly Shore and Son-in-Law. It's
yeah.
like he's like, this guy is so stupid. He just loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so
it's
funny
great.
What foreigners really are into. You know?
Let's take a quick break because
okay.
he should be here any moment.
Okay, mommy.
And,
let's take a break.
We'll go from there. Okay. All right, so that was was exactly the right time to take
perfect.
A break. I mean, I timed that shit out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, he was on time. So we're here with the great Pauly Shore. Thanks
Get
for coming
out.
Over, man.
This is exciting.
What the
I
fuck,
I haven't seen
man?
You since Tommy gave you a paid regular.
I know, we keep missing each
that's
other.
That's hilarious.
But
no,
I've
seen you around once in a while, but that's hilarious.
It's pretty surreal, man.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
pretty surreal
really, yeah.
that you're here. No, I mean, for both of us, because...
Yeah.
We both grew up in the MTV era. Because you and I were talking once in the green room at the store about, you know, a lot of the stuff you've done. But even with the movies and everything, if you go back to people that grew up with like MTV as like the cool thing, dude, the VJs thing is
oh
the craziest.
God.
Like for people that are, I don't know, under 30 listening or watching right now, they have no idea what MTV was. MTV was the only cool outlet there. It was like there's the network shows, there's like a couple cable things, there's only like fucking
30 channels.
But it
wasn't cool. Like whatever was cool was MTV. And I think Pauly, you tapped into it like with the Weasel. It was like the fucking
that's not how you say it by the way.
It's still
the Weasel. It's hilarious.
Dude.
No, it was like, you know, it's like a viral video. It's like, you know, I did a Stephen Miller video, I don't know, a couple months ago, and it took off. And then you do another video, and it doesn't take off. And it's like MTV, everything lined up for me, and everything lined up for what was happening at the time. I mean, MTV was very East Coast. If you think back, it was like, you know, Ken Ober and I don't know. I mean, fuck. There's
Downtown
some,
Julie Brown.
It was like
Downtown
East
Julie
Coast,
Browntown.
East Coast, and then
yeah. Dr. Dre and Ed Lover,
yeah.
the other Dr. Dre.
Yeah, and then I was sitting there. I'm like, fuck, I got to get on there. And then it just, you know, I don't want to break down the whole story. But once I got on there, it was something that was completely different. And the timing for me, I was developing my stand-up. I was 17 when I first started doing stand-up. And then my timing, I think I was like 20 when I got on. I mean, you have to understand something.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on MTV in my 20s.
That's funny.
In my 20s.
That's why your balls are drained. There must have been
so much
box thrown
cum
at
in
you.
The streets. That's awesome.
So wait a minute.
Yeah,
you start doing stand-up?
So yeah, my 20s, yeah.
Wait, no. And
well, all my movies was in my 20s. It's not like I did my movies in my 30s. My career like started to go, you know, down when I like had my run in my 30s.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's after all the movies and all the stuff. Like, that's when I stopped getting offers and all that shit, yeah.
Do offers stop because of, like, a bad, like, because movies, the movie business is real crazy in that it's, like, just like in stand-up, it's, like, ticket sales driven?
I think I just didn't do what Dave Chappelle did, which was he stopped while he was ahead.
Uh-huh.
For me, you know what I mean? And this should be a learning lesson to everyone out there. When your stock is high, like, back off. You know,
get the fuck out.
Like stop.
Yeah.
Like for instance, like I could have stopped after Son-in-Law. Yeah. You know what I
mean? My dad's favorite movie, by the way. We just talked about this.
Fantastic.
Before. It's hilarious.
It's a fun. Thank you, by the way. Thank you. Your dad's got good taste. Yeah.
It is hilarious.
It's a fun.
It's a great movie. You made a lot of great movies.
Yeah, I made some really fun movies. I see my movies now, and I love all of them. But my point is that I wasn't thinking. All I wanted to do was work.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, you're going to star in a movie and it's going to be about, you're going to be on jury duty and there's going to be Stanley Tucci's in it and you got all these great actors in it. Right. And you know, Tia Carrera off of Wayne's World and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck, that sounds good.
Of course.
Jury duty sounds hilarious.
Right.
But, I didn't work good with the director. The script was weird. Everything didn't line up. It wasn't like it lined up on my other films. And because I was my name was above the title, I fucking suffered from it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
By the way, I've always wanted to ask this to somebody with your, with the experience of doing that. When you're making a movie,
it's the best thing in the world.
I imagine that.
It's literally the best thing in the world.
Do you ever have any sense when the movie's being shot? Do you sense this is not going to go well? Do you feel that on the ones that
kind of
you do?
Yeah, kind of. But then you also, it's like when I did, I bring back the Stephen Miller video just because it was my last recent thing that did well. I did that and I didn't know I was going to wind up on CNN talking to one of the CNN news anchors.
That was really funny. For people that don't know though, Stephen Miller works in the Trump administration. He's one of the presidential aides, and he came out and basically took the mic one day. Mm. This is on the way of Spicer going out and really talked a lot of shit to a lot of the reporters.
That's hilarious.
And then Pauly did a parody of it where he had the fucking horseshoe, the bald head. And
yeah.
It was very funny, man. It was very funny.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where can people see that?
It's a Funny or Die.
Yeah, it's on Funny or Die. But my point is that you do things and you can't control all the other antics that happens. So you can just do what you do. And then it's in God's hands.
Yeah.
As far as a hit, you just don't know.
You don't know when you have a hit coming.
No, you don't know.
But in retrospect, you feel like you would have strategized in terms of
absolutely.
Hey, I'll take
my agents
off.
And managers told me not to do it.
Oh, really?
Of course. They're like, even when I did in the Army now, they told me not to do that because I had signed a 3-picture deal at Disney and I did Encino Man first. I did Son-in-Law. And the next, Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was running Disney at the time, wanted me to do another movie there. And New Line came to me with this other film called Totally London, mm-hmm. which was basically me playing an au pair in London.
Oh, my God. That sounds funny, though.
You know, like Polly Poppins, sure. where I go over there, with my slang and whatever it is. And I live with this kind of English family. And we wanted to do that. But because I was in bed with Disney and Jeffrey Katzenberg, they wouldn't get me out of that deal. So Jeffrey said, shut up. You're going to do this movie. And that's when we did In the Army Now. And In the Army Now did well. Now it's made its money after years of it being out there. But at the time, it didn't do as good as the other movies did. So that was and then I cut my hair and I was so known for my hair.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Wait, can we please talk about
that? That's why we got to cut D'Elia's hair. We got to take it up because he's getting too much babes, bro. That doesn't work for me. You know what I mean?
Too many babes.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah. So can we talk about the weasel? Because I feel like the weasel, you could have found that guy anywhere on the Sunset Strip in that era of time, because it was the metal clubs. You remember the Sunset Strip was kind of, that dude very well could have been living there.
Yeah.
How did he come to you?
Well, but first of all, before you even answer that, can we start so that people know that Pauly, where he grew up.
And oh my God. So, the craziest life ever.
Mm. They so that they know the background. Your mother, Mitzi Shore, oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah, it just goes out when you mention my mom.
I know.
Just don't bring me in on this bullshit. Leave me alone.
She didn't pass.
I don't want to deal with that shit.
So,
hilarious.
But Pauly's mom, ran the Comedy Store. And Pauly basically grew up at the Comedy Store.
And his dad's a comic. And
yes, of course. Yes. And I met your dad. And there's, he's got Sam Kinison babysitting him. And
crazy.
And Rodney. And just his craziest.
Rodney was the best.
Really?
Oh, my God. So hilarious.
Just
he was
always.
The best. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the best.
I believe that.
Yeah, he was the best. And sweetheart and funny and all that stuff.
To Christina's point. Do you, at an early age, because it seems normal to you, do you go I'm going to do this? I'm going to do what all these people are doing?
Well, I have two brothers and a sister, and they're not into it. So it's they grew up in it as well. I mean, you guys know, You guys are straight comics. You guys are hardcore comics. Like, you don't choose it. It chooses you. Like you live fucking in the valley. Like, you guys have to drive to the comedy store. Do you think you like driving to the comedy store? No.
Yeah.
But you fucking know once you get up there, you're going to have that feeling and that, you know, that, yeah. that, and especially yeah. like, you guys got to yeah. drive to the fucking airport.
Yeah.
And fly to, you know, all over America. Do you like that? No.
No.
So, but you know what's going to happen when you get there.
Right.
People are going to be there for you yeah. and your heart is going to be open. You're going to feel this like stress reliever. You know what I mean? So yeah.
is your first time on stage at the store?
No. I stayed away from it for about 2 years.
But you were like, did your mom know
because
you were
doing it? Well, I started when I was like 17. I started when I went to Beverly Hills High School, and I was like in, it was in high school. It was at the beginning of 12th grade, and all my friends were going to college. They were taking the SAT papers, and I'm like, okay, now I got to start. So I just started. Angel Salazar actually wrote my first joke.
Check it out.
He wrote my first joke. So so he got me, I got these comics to start kind of writing me jokes because I didn't know how to write jokes. And then my dad took me to my first gig.
He did. So you had your dad with you.
Yeah, my dad
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's in Culver City.
Did you feel pressure because it was your father, or did you feel supported because it was your father? Do you know what I mean? It could be either way.
No, he was cool. You know, he was cool. My dad was cool, you know, but I always like, you know, it was just one of those things that I always knew I was going to do. And like, okay, now I'm going to do it. But I stayed away from the store for 2 years. And then there was a club called the Alley Cat Bistro. And that was the LA Cabaret was a club in the Valley. That. Do you remember it?
Yeah. It's not there anymore though. Yeah.
Yeah. So long ago.
It's like Encino.
Yeah. So a guy named Ray Bishop, who used to own it, Argus Hamilton, used to get me spots there. And then I worked with Jamie at the Laugh Factory for years.
Really?
Yeah, so I stayed away from the store. And then the first time I went on for my mom, I showcased for her. And then...
God, what kind of pressure was that like? God. Was that terrifying or no?
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
It was?
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
Because I also figured you were either going to be like, nah, it's no big deal, or yeah, it's a fucking nightmare.
No, I was fucking terrible. I was 19. You know what I mean?
And did she tell you?
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
No. So Paul Mooney and Louis Anderson were sitting next to her in the booth, in her booth. God. So I go on stage. It's packed. Obviously, there's like a wall full of comics. I don't want to say they hate my guts, but it's Mitzi's son, you know. So they're like in the way back. So I'm like on stage. I'm doing these really bad jokes that Angel told me and wrote for me. I grew up in Beverly Hills. My mom's Mexican, whatever my jokes are. I say my jokes, no laughs. So at the end, I break out and start pop locking. I have this boom box. We play Freakazoid. And I put this mask on because I was good at pop locking.
Yeah.
So I started popping. And then after I went off stage, I ended good. I'm like, how did I do it? She's like, stick with the dancing. My mom said, stick with the dancing. And then she's like, get away from me. It was like pretty bad. Yeah. So like, it's not till I became famous on MTV and I was like drawing people in the main room that she like made me a paid regular.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, like I literally had to stay away. And then I worked with Kennison for a long time.
But what about?
Hold on. What did you do with Kennison? What do you mean you worked with him? You opened for him?
Yeah. I opened for him. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That was cool.
So is that the birth of the weasel?
How does the weasel come about?
Is that the dancing?
I have to say it was kind of like, all my friends used to call me the weasel.
They did?
Yeah. Like when I was younger, and then a lot of comics like Jackson Purdue, he used to say, you're a weasel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was always like, weasel. Like I'm the one that kind of came up with that. And then I was like, if that noise can actually occur, what would that noise sound like? Yeah. And I was like, you know, that's where the thing came. And then I started like pausing between my words.
That
was on MTV.
That was awesome.
I would look in the camera and be like, check out this video, bro, because it's going to be major.
Yeah.
And then I start grinding.
The grindage, major grindage.
Grindage. And then I would just start making shit up.
Right.
And then it was like my own language to the audience.
Wow.
And then from there, you know, I was like kind of had my own slang to the audience.
No wheezing the juice.
That was from Encino Man.
No wheezing the juice.
Juice. So that's how it took off.
The thing about it is like as a kid too, you know, like somebody who's a little bit older than you and is cool.
It's so cool.
And then when you learn slang, because you're as a kid, it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So like it was hearing the slang on MTV, but then in the movies too, that you're like, oh man.
And then you do it on the playground. Of course, you pretend to be Pauly Shore.
You do it at school. Like we're all doing
crazy
Pauly Shore at school.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
That's wild,
yeah, it
man.
It was dope. So, it was like the best. I mean, it was like people are always like, well, oh, you always hear people like, oh, why do you talk about your past? Not just me, just people in general. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, sure.
No, you live your past. I'm like, well, you didn't live my past.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My past was insane.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
It was it was pretty fucking cool. So
okay. You've been on a ride that most people
never will.
Never will.
Can I ask you, because I had, my mother's gone now, but I had a mother who very much disapproved of me and never really gave me the thumbs up, the approval I so desired. Like, do you think there's a time that your mother saw your career and went like, yeah, you did it?
Like, yeah, when I started dressing like her. Pretty much. Nah, that looks good on him. I wish I would have had a daughter. Yeah, you know, when I became famous on MTV and I was, I took her to the MTV Awards.
Okay.
You know, I was with dating a porno star.
You were?
So she loved that.
Yeah, she was like.
Who were you dating? Is it a well-known?
Her name was Savannah.
Oh, I know Savannah. Yeah. Yeah, she's popular on the Stern Show, yeah? Don't they play?
She's been dead for a long time. She killed herself.
Oh, never mind. Oh, my God.
Of you?
Sorry.
No.
Oh.
But probably, I hope not.
I was kidding,
man. Different, Savannah.
No, this was 1994. So my mom was cool, obviously, like, so liberal and so, like, whatever. My mom never judged, and that's what I loved about my mom, and that's, like, me. Like, I don't judge people. Like, if you're a heroin addict, cool, that's your thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people have to go through what they have to go through in life, and my mom was such, you know, my mom was such an artist. Like, she was so... She her heart was the comics. That's where it come from. And it actually started with my dad, because my dad met her when he was touring in the 50s. And my dad was touring and he did a camp. It was a summer camp in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. And my dad was the comic there. And my mom used to type up his jokes because she was the assistant for the owner. The owner of the camp. And she'd be like, do this one, do that. So it was like a natural thing.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was her thing, yeah.
Oh, man, that's so well. Now, I don't know if you've been asked this a million times, so forgive me if you have, but do you have any opinion on the Showtime series, I'm Dying Up Here? I mean...
I've told people a million times exactly my take on it.
For people that don't know, it's basically... I mean, it's executive produced by Jim Carrey, and it's, you know, it's a play on The Store.
What do
right?
they call... your mom's character, so I forgot.
Hot Winnie. Yeah. Winnie like or something.
Something
Goldie, I think you're right.
It's Goldie. Yes,
like a woman running the club. I mean, it's obviously supposed to be symbolized Mitzi, but sorry. So just so people know.
So when I see, I tell every time I see Eric Griffin, I'm always like, dude, I'm suing you, bro. Like you're playing it wrong. I'm coming after you.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, it's not me. I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Attorneys are gonna. You're gonna be getting a call.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's shitting his pants. He's like, please
no. No. I guess it's, you know. I mean, Jim Carrey. You know, he. It's his take on the whole thing.
Right.
Right.
So it's not my take. It's not my mom's take. It's not my dad's take. It's his take.
That's true.
So that's the first thing. The second thing, I look at it. I look at it at two things. I look at number one. Do I like this as a show?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just kind of sitting there and watching it. And I think it's kind of cool because I like kind of historical shows. I like shows from the 60s, 70s, 80s. I like that era. And then you look at it as a show, not really feeling it that much. You know what I mean? I'm not really connecting with people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think they're all good actors.
Yes.
But let's be honest, they're not all good actors. I mean, not to disrespect any of them, but they're not real actors. They're comedians that are acting.
Uh-huh.
Well,
so,
to
does
their,
that make sense?
I watched the whole series because I'm in love. I love the show. Like it's about stand-up, and I know these people. I think they made it too heavy. It was too fucking dark. It was like, I'm going to kill myself if I don't get on the main
stage
tonight.
But imagine if that was done with real good actors. Then that would be pretty kind of cool.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the acting or the fact that
I mean, imagine if, like,
so
younger
heavy.
Sean Penns were doing it. Like, who was, like, our generation of Sean Penns and, like, and Robert Downey and those type of guys.
Right.
You know, where they kind of really become.
So you think they should have cast,
like, I don't know. Maybe
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
I like him.
I don't know. I think
it's a fair take. I mean, I like your take. It's a very honest take, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I'm happy that it's got picked up for a second season.
It's very cool.
Because it's cool for the guys. You know,
for the guys.
Yeah, when they got a gig. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you get to fucking show up and act for fucking 3 months on a show.
Yeah.
What's better than that?
It's great.
You know what I mean? So
it's the best.
Do you, man, that's, do you, so how did the...
He doesn't know what to ask me. I think he's finished.
No, I'm...
Whoa, bro. Go easy. Weasel. Weasel. Sorry. You can cut that part out if you want.
No.
Okay. That's cool, right? You slow it down.
So wait, I want to know, how did the Stephen Miller thing come about? When I mean, obviously that happened, but how did you
do it? They just asked me to do it.
They just thought of you.
I do Funny or Die stuff a lot, so I'm always doing stuff for them. So they just, Sean Boyle, who's a friend of mine over there, works with Mike Farah. They're just, hey, you know, Stephen Miller just did this thing on CNN. We want you to play the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And the next day I went in, did it, and they put it up, you know?
Yeah.
What about you guys? How did you guys... I mean, this is an interesting thing. Well, no.
No, it is. No, you're right. Because it's not supposed to work. I mean, you've seen it with your parents, like two people in the same business.
Well, yeah, but she's not, mom wasn't a comic. You guys are full on really good comedians that are successful and you're working. This is a sitcom. You got to develop it into a show for sure.
We're trying. We're working on it.
Oh, God. It's great. Finance it yourself, though.
Oh, yeah?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, do what Louis C.K. did, except for the other party said. No, because you can produce it, get a young producer in there and just pay for it half, and then just shoot whatever it is you want, edit it,
we'll
make it cool.
We'll talk
sizzle,
after this.
Sizzle it up, man.
I think Tommy and I work because we started at the same time.
Oh, that's cute, Tommy.
Yeah, he did a little baby. Tom Segura.
Tom
that's
Segura.
A man's name. Yeah. But we started, I mean, literally since he was 23, I watched him. I think I met you like when you the fifth time you went on stage, or
probably,
something. And same here. So we're rooting for each other. It's different than like coming in at different levels.
What about the Weez? Is the Weez gonna?
Whoa! Yeah, we're talking about you guys. No,
we're talking about the Weasel. Is he gonna fucking?
Did you when your baby came out? Did you have 3 minutes? Grab the umbilical cord. Well, I just landed, and boy, is my head deformed. Huh? That's cool.
I hope not. Oh my God!
There's definitely a show there.
No, I think you're right.
I mean, for sure, dude.
Of course.
Yeah, there's a show.
But who would, like, on the road, who opens for who?
We don't do the road together. I think that's been the secret.
Natasha and, what's his name?
I don't know how they do it, Moshe.
Yeah.
But we've always had a pact that we didn't do that dynamic because that's trouble. Yeah, better to keep it separate.
Really?
I think so.
We always thought so. That's the first episode. And then you guys do it, and it's a disaster. You guys are just filing for divorce.
No, it's a good angle.
It's a good angle. Very Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, so we'll never work together again. That's the end of the first episode.
Wait, here's the movie premise. It's 2018, and what's the Weasel doing now? I think that would be great.
Well, the Weasel's working on things.
What would the Weasel be doing now?
Because you got a 50th coming up.
Yeah, I got a 50th birthday coming up.
And you're going to do a book?
I should.
Oh, my God.
Or a doc?
I got so many things. I got two documentaries. I have about 3 years ago, I did Stands Alone, which was on Showtime, which is a straight doc. And now I have a doc series based off of that. And that's a 6-part series. Mm-hmm. And I finished that. It's fucking, I think, not to pat myself, but I think it's the best thing I've ever done. It's very emotional. I moved my mom out of the house.
Oh,
it's fucking heavy, dude. It's heavy. Excuse me, I just burped.
Yeah, it was really girthy. I heard it down here.
Is the
Weez
going to put a ring on this finger or what? Like, are you going to...
With Whitney Cummings.
You're going to marry her?
I'm trying to. But really? She keeps ignoring me.
Are you into her?
I just want to get her pregnant.
Yeah.
She's really into animals. You just have to start liking animals.
I'm a weasel. What do you mean?
Dude, get her a horse.
Yeah. I have a horse. I won't say that. I don't know. I mean, I'm. It's like bungee jumping for me. Like, I kind of like being alone. I mean, I have a girlfriend now. I've been seeing her for a while.
Okay.
We have a nice relationship.
Good.
But it's really difficult for me. You know what I mean? It's difficult for me to just be with someone
I
all
see
the
that.
Time.
You know, to come home. Yeah,
like, I like coming home and I'm by myself. I kind of like that.
Well, we were just talking about how we go away for the holidays to avoid family. Mm. I don't necessarily enjoy hanging out with all my family members.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just your wiring. And I respect that you know that about yourself. Because there are some men that aren't supposed to have families. I don't think, honestly, my dad was supposed to be a family guy.
Like, he wasn't,
he stuck around. He did his duty, but...
Same with my dad.
He enjoyed it.
My dad was miserable. My mom was miserable.
Really?
My parents divorced when I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
But before that, I have two brothers and a sister. But my oldest brother, Scott, he's like 64. Mm-hmm. And my sister's like 62. 16. So it's like kids a long time. My dad. Whoa, sorry about that. My dad's fucking 90 years old. My mom's 87. Oh. So it's like they were doing it a long time ago, and then they stopped, and then they had me and my brother Peter. So me and Peter were pretty much raised at the store. You know what I mean? The whole time while mom was dating Argus and dating like Danny Stone and all these different comedians. And I was just there running around.
And Argus still visits her, right? Like,
yeah.
He's like very dedicated. That's what, yeah, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Hmm.
He would, Gary Shanley visited her too, and then he left and he passed away.
No.
Not good. Why are you laughing? That's not cool, bro. That's politically incorrect, I think, bro. So.
This, what scene, what movie is this from? One of my favorite scenes. I forget what movie this is from of you.
Black guys who love to fuck and fuck good. If you're a hot black guy and you want to fuck me at $23.95, if you want to move in, you can move in, but you got to fuck me.
That's not my movie.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
No?
No.
Oh.
No. That's the wrong clip.
They sent us, the publicist sent us the wrong trailer.
I am my publicist.
Oh.
Shit. We got fucking bamboozled.
Polly, what do you think was going on in that clip?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know who that looked like. Sandy Danto. Who is that?
Sandy. We don't know. It's a guy on the internet who just gave out his address and wanted black guys to come over and fuck him. And if you're out of jail, piss on him, come on him, whatever.
Try it out.
I'm
trying to be a little PC since it's a family show. It's mother's house, your mom's house.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not. You know what I mean? You
yeah. You like music, right?
Of course.
Are you a fan of the show Gigolos on Showtime?
We haven't seen it in a while.
I haven't seen it.
Well, do you know what it's about? It's a bunch of male hoes on Showtime, and it follows them around, you know, turning their tricks and their lives and stuff.
I haven't seen it.
Well, one of the guys on there is a musician. He has a new music video out, and they asked us to take a look at it. So let's give us your honest take.
Yeah. I love this song.
You do?
Yeah, I like the song. I don't know their version of it's a little.
Oh, wait, you know this?
I know this song, right? It's someone else's song.
I don't know.
No, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Wrecking Ball. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
He did a remake. I didn't know that. Oh, good ear.
Yes.
I fell under your spell of love. No one can deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away.
Are they going to start fucking or what?
I know.
I mean, come on already. I want them to bang her.
Vegas, baby.
That's it? That's all that's
that
happening?
That was it? I came in like a
wrecking ball. Okay, that's cool. All right, anyways.
It's no Lisa, I love Lisa. One I adore.
Yeah.
That was funny, man.
That was
good.
God
damn it.
I'm a stony, crusty dude.
Yeah. Now, was Lisa real? Was it based on a real Lisa?
Yeah.
Hmm. Where's she now?
She lives in Nashville with her kids.
Damn, homie.
Yeah.
You're going to try to make a baby, though, right?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I keep pulling out.
No, stop. You can't.
I gotta
do that.
Stop.
You gotta
right?
stop. Yeah. You gotta leave
you gotta
it.
Full loads all the way inside, yeah. Encompassing the vagina.
Yeah.
Not right? Can't do a half a load and then Jew out. Go, wait. Oh, no. Yeah. I don't.
And you also gotta make sure she lays still there after a while. It's hard to not move. You know?
Really?
Put her legs up.
Yeah. Put her legs up.
I heard if you do it doggy style, then it's a boy. And if it's standard, then it's a girl.
Totally true.
Is that true?
Yep.
So what do you guys have?
We have a boy.
Yeah.
So you did her dog?
Always the dog. Yeah,
that's hilarious. So do you guys have sex in the valley?
Bark.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Really?
Do you 69? We were talking about people. Do people really 69?
Do you 69?
Like a thing you do once in high school and
kinda.
Then you
long
stop.
Time and not. He's like kind of. I don't do that now.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
Right.
Yeah,
wait,
it's
what about
weird.
It?
It's like. I'm
but wait,
what?
You guys
Tell
live in the
why.
Valley. You guys live in a valley house. So do you guys have sex in the valley and stuff? This is cool. Like, you guys got neighbors and stuff?
Yeah, there's neighbors here.
You know
totally
all these?
Suburban. No, we don't know anybody.
So suburban.
No, we don't know. Well, it's because we have a kid. I mean, where the fuck do you raise your kid? I grew up in L.A. I grew up out here.
You grew up in the Valley?
I did, 818,
awesome.
Man, till I die.
Birmingham?
No, I went to Louisville, all girls Catholic, but I had friends that went to Birmingham.
Yeah. So you're in the Valley. That's cool. But where are you from originally?
I was born in Cincinnati, but I moved. I moved a lot. So I lived in a lot of Midwest.
That's
I lived
why
in
he's a
South
comic.
Florida. Yeah.
It's kind of emotional.
And when did you start? Where did you start doing your stand up?
Here in LA.
Which club?
Well, I started at like some of the bars, and then I got in at Melrose first.
The improv. Yep. You could say the improv in front of me. It's okay.
I don't want to. Okay. I don't want to upset you.
Dude, you know what's crazy is when I first started working the improvs, I actually put in my contract, I put a curtain in front of me because I didn't want someone to take a picture of me in front of the improv sign and show it to my mom.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because that was like a very big, you know, feud growing up as a kid, you know?
Of course. Yeah. Very important question. Do you ever, when you take a dump, do you ever go right to the shower, like from shit to shower?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Why?
It's not a good conversation.
Why?
I know.
I don't know.
This dude gets laid all the time. You think he wants to put that out there?
I don't want to put that. It's a bad energy.
Yeah.
She's
talking about not even wiping.
No, because not she's even done, no, she's done those jokes before on stage.
Yeah, I know.
What are you talking about? No, I have not.
You've done some shit jokes before.
I like poopy. Yeah, but I'm just saying, this is your mom's house. We have to be real to the brand.
Yeah.
You know who?
Oh my God.
You know who I sat next to yesterday?
Who?
On my flight, sat directly next to me was Kenyon Martin.
Who's that?
I'll tell you exactly who that is.
Do you know who that is?
I mean, it didn't get away, you know what I'm saying? They made a play at the end. It was a questionable travel call, you know what I'm saying? It didn't go our way. And they made a decent play, you know what I'm saying? I had a good look. MC had a better look. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, for me, I always just think of him as University of Cincinnati, but he played in the NBA for, I don't know, a dozen years. He was a bit of a journeyman, right? He had a few teams. Let me look up his... So he's retired now, but I'm saying he's let's see what his career was. Yeah, big old fuck, 6'9". He played for the Nets, the Nuggets, the Clippers, yeah, Bucks, a whole bunch of teams. Jersey, yeah.
Do you like sports?
No, don't care.
Yeah, but he's so one of the all, because it's the it? One of the all time. You know what I'm saying?
So it was just I'm saying they made one more plays than we did, man. It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't like the game got out of control. I'm saying they came out with a lot of energy, which we knew they was gonna do. I'm saying we fought.
I mean, there's a lot of them.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
For you know what I'm saying? We always like to highlight the really great. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I think that's the open for your show.
You know what I'm saying?
You guys talk about you're in the kitchen, you're doing the kid thing, and it just turns into like, look, we're getting paid a lot of money, you know, and you're like, yeah, but that's the one thing we talked about. We would never work together. You know what I mean? And then finally you just say, fuck it, let's do it.
Actually.
Let's just do it. And then it's all this angst, and you go up there and something bad happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then like that's the end of the second act, and then the third act is like, you know, you kind of deal with it and then like, you know, you start.
I like this premise because that is the one thing we've chosen. Because, you know, once you do a reality show, it kills the marriage.
No, you're not reality. Never. It's a straight script.
But I'm saying there's a reason we've never done certain things. I feel like maybe unconsciously we knew.
But the thing that's
bad.
Cool about it is you guys are both really talented and you guys can like do something different. Because no one's done it. No one's done it successfully, right?
Done what?
The husband and the wife that are both true stand-ups.
That's right.
I mean, right?
Is
there anyone?
True. Well, I mean, okay, Lucy and Ricky, they weren't stand-up. They're vaudeville. Not. They came out of vaudeville. Who's the... you're right. There's not been two married true stand-ups that have done
the
show. I think it would be great. And you just tweak it.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It but you guys already know this idea, but you should just get it done. I think it'd be great.
We're working on it, man.
We really are working
on it. We really are. It's really, it's hot on mine.
So the reason she asked you about 69 is this. So,
you want to talk about shitting and black guys' penises in 69?
Yes. Now you're
what about 6-9ing all the way over the black guy's penis?
Possible.
Have you ever seen that website, blacken.com?
No.
You're talking about black penises and you haven't seen blacken.com.
No.
Wait, it's a website dedicated to black guys having sex with white girls. Look how excited you got.
You mean blacked.
Oh, okay.
Blacken.
Whoa. I thought it was blackened.
Tom, look at you correcting me, man.
Okay, so it's black.com.
Yeah.
Wait.
Is that part of the Dog Fart Network?
Maybe.
God, what is happening?
Maybe.
Is this dark web? Is this stuff I'm...
But
I've just heard these stories.
Uh-huh.
It's basically a website that's just dedicated to black guys having sex with white girls, but they're hot white chicks. Mm-hmm. And they have sex with the girls in the butt.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh.
And the guys all have tiny little dicks. It's the funniest thing. It's really like, it's like a new take on it. They're like, you think black guys normally have big dicks, not over here. And then that's why they can fit so many in them.
Polly, how many women, I don't want to ask the number, but I want to ask. Like, I feel like how many?
What was it like in the,
it must have been
in the MTV? What was crazier, MTV era or like movies after that?
It was a combination.
But like, is one lane of it crazier than the other or no?
Well, they both, I was on MTV during the whole time I was doing the movies.
Oh, okay.
It was like mixed. Yeah. I was doing albums.
Yeah.
HBO specials, were the remotes, movies, the whole thing.
The craziest, like when you go to like Daytona to do an MTV thing. Is that
let's talk about spring break. Yeah, Daytona break. Shit. That must have been off the chain.
It was the best.
You're like, I can't come anymore. There's no more in me. I can't.
No, I had this friend of mine, Tony DeSanto, I'm going to see in New York. You guys know Tony?
Yes.
You know Tony, right?
He's at the store, right? Isn't he?
No, he's not.
Am I crazy?
No, he's a producer.
Oh, why do I know his name then? What did he produce?
He made this. He ran.
In from jail, homeless, or.
Wait, I do know the name, though. Let me look him up.
He ran MTV for a while.
Yeah, because I was on Road Rules. That's why I know that name.
So you know Tony.
Okay.
Yes.
So Tony was, he was like a...
Sandy Danto is who I'm thinking. Sorry, go ahead.
He was Tony's, he was a producer at Spring Break when we were doing the Chillin' with the Wee shows, right? And they used to come to my room. The producers would come in my room to prep me. You know what I mean? To kind of like, you know, they just, hey, we're going to do. He's on the show, blah, blah, blah. And he came in my room. And, you know, girls were in there already from the night before. And then he come out, and then I'm like, wait, dude, I got, this is, he says this, so don't think I'm a pig for saying this. I didn't say this. He says that, Polly, blah, 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 there's a splint on my dick or something. Like, I had a splint on my dick. Jesus. That's what he said. I don't remember saying that. Ask him. But, you know.
And
but
was your game, did you have a game set up where you'd be like, hey, like, go.
I didn't
go
have
tell
to have
what's
a,
up.
No, he was a fucking weasel.
Bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, but I'm saying if you eyeballed someone and you're working,
this
were
was
you like,
it. Hey, babe,
that's
what's
it?
Up? That's it. That's
wait,
it.
That. Yeah. Hold on. Let's
hey,
it.
Babe, what's up?
And that's it.
That's it.
Wow. For those of you who can't see this, he just literally rubbed my arm and went, hey, babe.
That's how it
And I felt the electricity of the weasel. I felt it.
Then let's just find a room.
Let's go.
That's it. Just get into a room.
God, that's so fucking nutty.
No, it was. It was cool. You know, it was a spring break. You had, who was that? Lenny Kravitz was there. Rodney was down there. Kennison was down there. Cheap Trick was down there. Black Crowes, Stone Temple Pilots. You're Fine Young
it.
Cannibals.
Killing.
Oh, I love
you know?
Those guys.
And it was just like, you know, it was live.
Yeah.
That's what was cool. And it was an event. Spring Break was the biggest event for MTV. So you had hundreds of thousands of kids going there just to be on Spring Break. You know, it was like
nuts.
And it was live. So it's like, you know, if you fucked up, you fucked up. You know, your whole, VJ shit.
Yeah.
You know, you just, that's how it was.
But did you love the gig? It was a great gig,
right?
It was
the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like, you felt like a rock star, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I was so lucky. It was very fortunate.
That's very cool. Yeah. Okay. So the reason that she's bringing up 69, it's an important reason. So when my dad turned 70 this summer, my mother, who's a foreigner, she's from Peru.
That's why you have white stuff over your nose.
It is.
That's
totally it. We asked her, we said, Dad's turning 70 tomorrow. Will you 69 him before
Hilarious.
He turns 70? And it became like a joke at the dinner table because she also didn't know what that meant, right? So it was like a funny thing and people started doing it. So anyways, we told our audience about that and they have been recording their families asking the same question and sending in the
clips.
Oh
my God, that's
so
hilarious.
We have some. Here
so
we go.
Good.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's so gross.
How old did you turn today?
69.
So before you turn 70, like on the last night, are you going to try to 69 one more time?
I don't think so.
With what, my dogs?
You gonna keep them jeans high and tight?
So, that's Alec and Bailey. That's fantastic.
She had a good attitude.
She did have a good attitude.
Some moms are like, shut it down.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Grandma.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Grandma. Grandma, are you going to 69 Mervyn to celebrate?
John!
It's your 69th.
See, somebody yelled at him, John! That was like, stop. Yeah, stop doing that.
They're reprimanding for the fun. Yeah. Stop having
guys,
fun.
To celebrate his last night being 69, do you think you guys are 69?
Can you not?
Grady, Grace.
Hey, Grace.
This crew for you and me.
Dad, what do you think?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Okay. There you go. Because he don't eat nothing with hair on it. That is fantastic, Katie.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Katie, for saying that. We don't usually have the women record. Guys have been sending it in, but Katie sent it in, so thank you for that. Her dad don't eat nothing with hair on it.
That was a good response, that actually. It's a good mom.
They're in Alabama?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Den in here?
Mom, do you think for dad's 70th birthday, to celebrate, you guys are going to 69? What do you think, Dad?
Seven.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I love you guys.
Those are my favorite responses, I think, when they're just like, why are you being a child? Like, why are you doing this juvenile
shit? You should have pushed him along. No, Dad, for real.
I know.
Right? You're hilarious. No, for real, you guys should. It's the last time. Don't you think?
Yeah. Is Benji?
So, on Dad's 69th birthday, the last day, the last day of his 69th year, right before he turned 70. Exactly.
What?
Are you guys going to go out with a bang in 69 one last time?
No.
Do you even know what that is?
Yeah.
Do you do it?
Every night.
They're so embarrassed.
No, I don't do it, but I've done it.
I don't do it, but I've done it, she said.
Look how excited Dad is.
What about the guy, the little terrorist guy in the corner? He's like joining ISIS.
I know. It looks like my friend Rami.
Yeah.
Rami, what's up?
Such a
Rami.
Bummer.
So that was Benji. We got a couple more here.
I have a question to ask you.
Krista.
So here. You and Dad are getting older.
Oh, this is fantastic.
This
lady is not into this.
Dad's he's not about to turn 70, but he is in his 70s, so.
He's not in his 70s.
He's about to be in his 70s, so.
In his 60s.
The night before his 70th birthday, when he's 69, are you going to 69 on his 69th?
Why would you ask your mother that? Dad will send you to counseling.
But are you going to?
I don't know about that. I don't think I'm going to discuss this with you.
A fucking leaf blower.
I think she's going to do it.
Oh, geez,
she's
so.
Like,
that
she's
lady
kinda
is
horny.
So pissed.
She's kind of horny, right? What about me? I'm 49. What about me? What am I going to do on my 50th?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
50th is a big one.
Yeah, but what do you do?
50th? I think you have to do...
sexual stuff.
You do have to do sexual stuff.
What do you do?
Have you been pegged?
What does that mean?
Like a girl straps on a little...
And puts in my butt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also like reaches around and cranks one out for you?
No.
That's a big 50th thing.
Really?
Yeah. Would you not let a girl do that?
Maybe if I was wasted.
There you go.
Yeah.
But you're going to be on your
50th. If I put like some muscle relaxers in my body, you know what I mean? Loosen up my rectum.
You have to relax for something like that to go down. I don't do butt sex, but there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So uptight. I'm uptight.
I love how she got really. She said, "I'm going to send you into counseling."
Yeah.
Right? Didn't she say that?
Yeah.
She goes,
"To be in his 70s." So the night before his 70th birthday, when he's 69, are you going to 69 on his 69?
Why would you ask your mother that? That will send you into counseling.
But are you going to?
I think that's real. Like, they've had that conversation before. Like, every time you get out of line, Krista, we're sending you back to counseling.
Again, a woman, Krista. But I like that she did the poly technique of following up. But are you going to?
Are you going to?
That's the whole key.
Yeah, you got to push it. You got to push it.
Yeah.
You got to push it.
69 and 70.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It is great. I had that clip pull that you asked me to pull from CNN.
This is hilarious.
This was in regard, I think, was this about the fires? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. The fires.
Or,
no, this happened in Tampa. Sorry. In Tampa. Oh, about the serial killer. An arrest. Because they had a serial killer there. Killed some people earlier this year. Anyways, there's a sign language person that, you know, they do for, like, big press conferences. And there's something. Mm-hmm. Really, so this woman just came in, and she's not a sign language interpreter. And just...
She did it
best. It's happened again. Another sign language interpreter accused of signing total gibberish.
Signing what?
It was at the
gibberish.
She's not just going to know how to do sign language.
The Tampa serial killings.
We will be charging 4 counts of first degree murder.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Standing off to the side, apparently translating every word, this woman.
Isn't that hilarious?
So she did it wrong.
She doesn't do it at all.
She
just made it up.
She's just they're having fun.
Oh, that's like, hilarious.
Why would
we
you do that?
Over
I wonder.
5,000 tips in this.
Five.
But it turns out much of what she was signing was nonsense. She waved her arms around like she was singing Jingle Bells. One outraged sign language expert. The woman, identified as Derlin Roberts, has a string of arrests.
Oh.
So how did she come to be translating at last week's high-profile news conference?
I just didn't ask enough questions.
Tampa Police Public Information Officer Steve Hegarty told me the woman simply showed up out of the blue and offered her services.
My God.
My immediate reaction was, I didn't call for a sign language interpreter, but that's great that we have one here. Right. I let her in.
Did this woman appear to know what she was doing?
To the untrained eye. And that would include mine. I didn't see any problems.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God.
What would motivate somebody? Is it a money thing?
She's been arrested.
She's probably got
7 mugshots. Yeah. Maybe she's like, I'll fuck with the police.
Yeah. You know? She's got a sense of humor. She's like, I'm going to fuck with these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
This latest embarrassment comes 3 months after it was revealed that the sign language interpreter at her Hurricane Irma
is this guy a bad guy, too?
Yeah.
He's faking it, too.
Time to act is now.
He's like, no.
Hegarty is summing up the latest goof.
We won't be using that woman again.
Oh, really?
Say this was not a crime, but it was an ethical violation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is they asked. I saw that in the news that day. They're like, "There's nothing like."
There's no charge.
Yeah, no
she just annoyed the shit out
she's
of everybody.
She's just an asshole.
That
everybody that's like, I can't hear. I need right. to.
The crazy is her criminal record. That's she's legit criminal.
Yeah, she really is.
Hold on, our house alarm's going off. Hold on,
our house alarm is.
She slammed the door too hard.
Oh, who's she?
Our nanny.
Oh boy.
Right back.
We can talk about her now when she leaves.
Now let's talk some shit.
Damn it! Let's get those black penises up here.
Yeah, man.
So what do you think?
Black dicks?
Yeah.
I watch that shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is that your site? Is that your go-to?
Yeah, that's my go-to.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I'm in shock. I can't believe it.
How hard they give it to them?
When I was growing up, when we used to watch pornos, it was like a taboo.
Interracial?
Yeah, it was like a taboo, and now it's like the opposite.
It's like a whole genre. I mean, it's like a popular one.
Yeah, and...
does it still freak you out in a way?
Yeah, and the anal sex is like really bizarre too, because again, when I was growing up, it was like a taboo to have sex in the butt, and now like every single porno, it's like a taboo to have sex in the vagina. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like the vagina just sitting there, just like, you know, bored.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Anal's like the first shot now.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I never got into...
It's so gnarly.
I wasn't into anal, you know?
Oh, yeah, it is what it is.
Was anal a big part of your, you know, sexual exploits?
There's been a couple of times, but you always have to ask the girl.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You can't just, like, put it in.
No. And do you always make sure you have lube on those moments or no?
You got to ask the girl.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes you can, like lick your finger and then put that in. And that's kind of like a, that's kind of like a version of lube.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you just like,
yep. And then
you just put the, you know what I mean?
Weasel it in.
And you put it right in the rectum hole.
Yeah.
And then you do the passing the baton.
Why don't you do a sex show?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
A sex podcast.
You have, see, here's the thing, you have credibility. Here's what works. When people talk about a topic and they have credibility, you know, everyone knows you got laid a lot. Fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
You can give people tips. Imagine you with like a kid who's like, I'm going to college. I'm nervous. I don't know how to get laid. And fucking Weasel comes in, shows him what's up. I mean, what would you tell some 19-year-old kid listening right now? He's like, I don't know how to approach girls. What do you tell him? I bet you have good advice.
I would. It depends. I think it's a case by case.
That's
fair. It depends on what the person looked like,
yeah,
and what the vibe of the person was.
Let's say they're just a little insecure and they are a little overweight and they're, you know, they just don't have any experience, so they don't know what to do. But there's cute girls walking around campus and they're like, I listen to podcasts.
Well, I would definitely say the laugh thing. Definitely try to make them laugh.
There you go.
I think that's important.
I'm trying to get Polly to talk because he
laugh on black penises. You know, if you see a black penis, you just laugh at it.
Yeah,
that's what he was saying.
I was saying he can give advice to guys that want to get laid. You know,
it's like, a great idea. That'd be a great podcast topic. Actually, yeah, teaching dudes how to get laid.
You guys can do the show that's going to be on FX because Louis's not there anymore. You can take that slot.
Right. Good.
Right.
Yeah.
and then I can do my podcast from here.
That's
with
true.
Your neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
Coming in here, I can teach them how to get laid.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Mr. Weasel, how do I get my weasel?
Yeah, I think laughing is the first and foremost, you know, disarming the babes.
Yeah, you gotta get the babes
you gotta disarm the babes. He was just saying, like, if there's a 19-year-old kid, how, and I said, well, it's a case by case, like, what does the kid look like? And he's like, oh, he's a little chubby, a little insecure. And I'm like, well, probably make the girl laugh, something silly.
Always.
Yeah.
Always right? go for laughs.
You know, girls always say that horse shit on their profiles. Like, I just want a guy that can make me laugh. That's always number one.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know if that's true, but they say that.
Yeah. They do want to make, I think the laughing thing is true.
That
then
is
you got
to
follow up. You got to go for the clothes.
Maybe they can also get a penis enlargement too. So once, because once a girl has a really nice penis, usually she goes back to it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like familiar territory.
It's very
true. You know what I mean?
Before you were the Wheeze on MTV and.
I was the Skis on VH1.
Were you getting laid?
I'm just kidding.
Pretty well before that? Yeah. You had a good game. You had you had the full head of hair.
I don't know. My mom owned the comedy store too. I'd be like, yo, babe, come on, get you some nachos.
Free chicken tenders.
Yeah, come
and
on. Hey, I'll get you Shirley Temple.
Were you there all the time, even as a teen? Because that's it when it's even cooler, I think. It's like friends are like, oh, let's go drink at, you know, so-and-so's house. But you could like walk into the store.
Yeah. No, there used to be the Comedy Store Westwood.
Uh-huh.
I remember.
Yeah. You never were there.
I think people thought I was crazy because Westwood. I feel like I remember a time when
when did it close? Like the 84 or something.
I know, but I feel like I fucking remember it existing. It may not have been there. I remember it existing. I grew up here. I've been here since.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, then you remember. Next to it was an arcade. So we used to bring my friends there. We used to do whip hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and watch my girlfriend, a girl named Leslie Zeman from the Valley. She went to Birmingham. She was my prom date and my girlfriend in high school, and we used to have sex.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you guys do butt sex?
Or?
Probably. She's from the Valley, you know.
They all do.
Yeah, the Valley.
Valley
Jewish
sluts.
Valley babe.
Those Jews. Valley hoes. But that would be good. You need to give millennials advice. Because I do another podcast called That's Deep Bro, and I get emails from 20-year-olds like, I don't know how to talk to people. How do I talk to girls? How do I make friends? Mm. It's just, you know, it's different. With
you can give out free rent, you know? Well, if that was your thing.
They want to come over and, yeah, they got out
of
prison.
That's a good way to get laid. Actually, that's a great idea. If you want to get laid, put out a thing where people know that if they fuck you, they could live in your house for free. So it's an exchange of goods and services, you know? Yep. It's a contract.
It's a contract in legal terms.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good way to get laid if you're having trouble getting laid.
That's true, Tom.
Give away housing.
Oh, my God.
So who cooks?
Men from jail, homeless, or you're a thug. You want to come move in? A friend can move with you too, man. Free rent. You get a lease and a key. Fuck me. Piss on me. Beat me. Home, you know. You see me? You want to come over today and try it out? Try it out, man.
Try it out.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't cook. I'll tell you the secret
really?
To our
you
joy.
Don't cook?
Well, occasionally I do, but
none
I, not,
of you guys know how to cook.
Well,
we do. We just, it's, you know, who's got the time? But here's what we decided to do that saved our relationship. Real talk. Even when we didn't have the money, hired a fucking housekeeper. I'm talking Tommy and I were broke as a joke. We still had the $30 a week or whatever to someone else. Clean up the boxers, scrub those toilets on the weekend and shit like that.
Yeah.
It just saves you the heartache. Have you ever lived with a woman? Like, have you ever had a serious relationship?
Kinda.
Kinda?
Yeah.
What's the longest?
This girl that I've been with for a while, right?
Really?
Now,
yeah. This is the longest?
Probably, yeah.
How long is it?
Over 5 years.
Oh.
Really?
That's nice.
Don't get mad. He's like, really?
Do you think it's really going to, I mean, do you think you'll get married?
Little weasels?
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I'm very, you know what I mean? It's very hard for me.
I know. Especially because you've been on your own for so long and you're, yeah.
I like, you know, I kind of go back and forth with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know.
It sounds like it's a real deep issue.
It is a big issue, yeah.
Do you ever see a therapist? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
You ever talk about that?
Well, I've done group therapy.
Oh, no. You
what about one-on-one,
bro? Get in there.
I don't know a good one.
Oh, I know a great one.
Really?
I'll recommend you to.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a girl or a boy?
Well, you wouldn't see my therapist. That's a conflict of interest. But
really?
Yeah, you can't have your friends and family seeing.
Do you want a female or a male?
Probably a female.
Yeah.
I think makes more sense for me.
You think you have more lady issues than issues with women than men, let's say?
Man, I'm cool with everyone. It's just as far as, like, you guys live together. Like, you have a baby. Like, that's full-on, like, jumping in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's my issue.
Yeah.
Full-on jumping in the water. And it's like, there's something I really like about coming home and knowing no one's going to be there.
And no one, what gives you the most?
And nothing personal with her.
Right.
It's not her at all. It's me. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, because all day long I'm doing stuff just like you guys are. And then you come home, sometimes you just want to be by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess, you know, you guys do that when you're on the road too.
Yeah, we have a lot of away time.
Yeah.
But do you think she might give you that space? Like when you came home, like give you an hour to yourself?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. But right now I'm staying in an apartment in Silver Lake. So it's kind of like, it's a one bedroom apartment. So it's not really conducive.
Right, right. Oh, right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like a big house. Yeah.
You know, but I think it is scary to get married and it is scary to get this responsible.
Well, it's the jumping in the water all the way. Yeah.
Well, because I remember when Tom and I first got married, there were times when I felt like I had to run. Like if we fought or something, I'd be like, I got to go. I got to head for the hills. And I think that's like a childhood thing that I had to resolve in therapy. Obviously, I don't feel that way now, Tommy. But it's a process, you know? I think it's a process. It's not normal. If you're, especially if you have
someone all the time.
Well, I think it's a growing process, you know, especially if you've got some stuff that needs to be resolved or whatever. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to go to therapy and tell us all about it.
Yeah, come on. Let's talk about it.
Real quick before you go, I know he's got to go to
oh, yeah, go, yeah.
There's an email about King Ass Ripper.
Uh-huh.
It says, Mommy's, I was revisiting the Ass Ripper catalog and had a thought. My old roommate was lactose intolerant to such a degree that he got terrible gas pains every time he drank milk. How funny. It's tied into the other thing. The volume and consistency of these farts were similar. They're not equal to the King's. I believe this may be how the King is able to muster these mythical farts. Josh, you know about King Ass Ripper?
No.
He's a internet sensation, and he makes...
This is why I want to get out of the entertainment business.
Yeah.
For this type of shit.
Because...
Well, you're like, he's a celebrity on the thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ripping his ass. And yeah, I'm like, yeah. I can't keep up with this stuff.
No, I know.
No, it's but too the...
That's
just raw talent, though. You know what I mean?
What's he doing?
He's farting.
She loves it.
She loves it.
It just really tickles me. It's absurd. It's absurd.
He does. He does do a lot of.
Who would ruin their social life and their prospects for getting laid? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's ruining his life with these things.
He loves it. I don't think it's funny at all, I think it's funny that you guys think it's funny.
I know.
That's hilarious.
Okay. Well, he's legendary.
I mean, that you guys are even putting this on your show. It's funny to me.
None of you motherfuckers can rip ass like this. I'm farting on you haters.
But he's like a big...
He's into it.
He's really into it. He also does a lot of glutton videos. Where
damn, I'm having a big ass fucking breakfast. Oh, 4 bean and cheese burritos lathered with 2 big ass eggs and fucking 6 sausage and cheese patties. Oh, look at that.
And he's got a million burritos, hits, right?
That's about 5,000 calories right there.
Hits. I don't know.
He's each sausage patties.
He gets kicked off of a lot of the platforms that he's on.
Right.
So then he'll
sneak around.
He'll sneak around. So he'll be on Live Leak, then he'll go back to YouTube. Then he's on just like E-Bombs, then he's back on Live. I Fart In Your Face is one of his handles, or Harry and Gross. But I think you should look him up. He's really talented. That's my favorite part of the whole day. Is you doing that. You're like,
I know. Or he can act in movies and create a persona.
Why?
That catches fire.
It's just overrated,
fire,
man. This guy can fart on command. True.
Become a cultural phenomenon. Or you just fart on the internet.
Not for me.
All right.
But I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm happy that he's got so many views.
Yeah. And you can donate if you want him to eat something for you on camera or fart for you. He'll take your donations.
Okay. He's like, yeah.
So, look, thank you, first of all, for coming over. I know you got to go to this game. It was seriously fun to hear the insight on a lot of this stuff, man. Seriously.
So your advice is to go the fuck away. If you ever get hugely successful, go away for a while.
Go away for a minute.
I think so. You got to, you know, especially when you're representatives and people around you. But I don't know. I think that, you know, you're lucky to catch fire on anything in this business. You know, you catch a wave. And if you get as big as I got, you know, like this, it's good to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
I think so too.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
You can see a bunch of Paulie's videos on Funny or Die. He's done a number of them. And you can catch him on tour. You have any upcoming, like,
when is this going to air?
This comes out tomorrow, man.
Oh shit. Okay. I'll be at the, St. Louis Funny Bone this weekend.
Oh, great. Yeah.
St. Louis Funny Bone. Yeah, it's a great... It's actually the first Funny Bone.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the first one, yeah.
All right.
And it smells like it, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's... Do they still smoke in there?
Like,
there's some clubs where...
Yes,
like,
I think they still
smoke. Sometimes they have, like, a smoking show. They'll be like, the early show, they'll smoke.
And then I'm bringing Josh Martin with me.
He's great.
Yeah, he's good. Who do you guys... Who opens for you guys? Don't you bring someone, or you go by yourself sometimes?
I sometimes bring Matt Fulshron, Joe Bartnick, Jeff Tate.
I brought Josh Potter to a bunch of gigs this year. He's from Buffalo but lives here now.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny. Yeah. And there's other guys too I brought, but like this year Potter.
We're going to find you a girl.
We're going to find me a girl?
But a fat, unattractive, unfuckable. Not like a hot.
Don't say who he's about to say. Wait till our mics are. Wait till our mics are.
Paulie's like, I got a fat chick for you.
Yeah, he's like, I got someone for you. All right.
Girl that works the door.
No.
Oh, she's great.
She's good, right?
I know who you're talking about. She's really funny.
Tell me her name again.
She's a big lesbian girl.
Yes.
We'll talk about her. She's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming today.
Yeah, thank you.
And also, thank you guys for listening. Of course, here is your song to go out. Lift Your Jeans Up Higher.
Is this guy going to fart on us?
No. Jason from Sacramento. Thanks so much. All right, guys. See you next time.
Thank you.
Grab your jeans and pull them up higher than you ever wore them before. Now it may seem that your crotch is on fire, but your camel toe I cannot ignore. So keep them high and tight, you sexy tiger. I wanna see those thighs explode. Now turn around so I can see your entire parking garage at the end of my road. And forgive me if you see my mouth water. Don't mean to be rude, I just want me a bite. 'Cause I've been starving myself, now I'm kinda in the mood for some bum chum tonight. And if you don't give me my appetizer with some stinky sauce, I think I'll just die. Then I'll come back in reincarnation as your jeans when they're high and tight.